Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
Hi, welcome to Your Family Dog. I'm Colleen Pilar, and I'm here with Julie Fudge-Smith, and today's topic is poop. And why would a dog ever want to eat it? So, Julie, do you get that question a lot?
I do, and I get it more often. In fact, that's what brought it up, is I got three questions on it this week alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's
it's winter.
It's winter, and it's been especially cold here in Ohio. We haven't had temperatures above 15 degrees for well over a week or 10 days. So that means that we're producing poopsicles, mm-hmm. as trainers call them. And what we find is that there are some dogs that don't normally eat poop unless it's frozen. And there's something about it being frozen that makes it, I don't know, delectable, whether it's the crunchiness or the cold, or it just enhances the flavor. I have no idea. But there are some dogs that just do it in the winter. And so when that happens, what I usually say is they're not a normal poop eater. Then you just have to be a little bit more diligent when you're out. Mm-hmm. So keep your eye out for other dogs' poop and avoid it. And you have to, unfortunately, go out and clean up your yard in the winter, perhaps a little bit more diligently, if you don't want your dogs to eat the poop. So, Colleen, why do you think dogs eat poop? You got any theories on that?
Well, I do know that many dogs start eating poop after an illness. And that was the case for my Labrador, who was crazy for poop. He had a severe case of Giardia at a fairly young age, and he was really not well. And he started eating poop at that time. Not his. He ate other dogs' poop initially, and then it switched over to eating his own exclusively for the remainder of his life because, you know, he was a connoisseur. But the vet told me that he really was starved for nutrients at that point. He was really not doing well, and so he was eating poop in an attempt to keep feeding himself because he had been so ill. The hard part of that is, of course, that sometimes behavior that's learned stays learned even after the cause,
the initial event
goes away. So he was very sick, a little under 1 year old, and he died a little over 12, and he liked poop his whole life.
Wow. Lucky you.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about this a little bit in the episode where we talked about Dawn of the Dog, mm-hmm. the origins of dog. And one of the reason why we think dogs might have separated from wolves a little bit sooner and why they were accepted into human society is these people didn't have a lot of garbage dumps, but they did have latrines. And dogs would clean up and around the campsites and make sure, and it kept it much cleaner, because if you clean up waste, then you don't have flies and you mm-hmm. don't have various other things. And so dogs might have been welcomed into society because they were little garbage eaters, but they weren't eating garbage. They were eating human waste to clean up the environment. So it's sort of deep in their genetic code to look for sources of nutrients. And poop is pretty nutrient rich, which mm-hmm. is why manure is spread on fields, right? Because mm-hmm. what is manure except cow poop? And so there's a lot of nutrients there, including fixed nitrogen, which is important for plants, but dogs don't eat it for fixed nitrogen. So, and you know what? I think for them, it probably tastes good because it probably tastes a little bit like everything we've been eating already, or what the neighbor's been eating. And wow, I really like his food much better than my own. So, but I do think some dogs just get obsessive about
yes.
it. And so I had a couple of questions this week. One was, how do I prevent my dog from eating poop? The other one was, how do I get my dog to stop eating deer poop? And I thought to myself, well, that's a little bit more challenging mm-hmm. in a different way. But let's go back to, how do I prevent my dog from eating my own poop, his own poop, or his own poop, not mine. And there are a couple of additives that I have found. Canned pineapple and canned spinach. Mm-hmm. And licorice or anise flavoring. And then I was talking to my holistic vet today, who we also did an episode, I think it's episode 44 or 43 with Dr. Carlson. And he was saying Flintstone vitamins seem to work for some dogs.
Now, so like a single Flintstone vitamin with a meal?
I didn't ask him that, Colleen.
Well, I need to know dosage here. I don't have Gordo any longer, but, you know, just in theory, when my clients ask me, how
well,
many
you
Flintstone
know what?
Vitamins?
I can call. I will call Dr. Carlson and ask him, and we'll put that in the show notes. So those who need to know the dosage on the Flintstone vitamins. And he said, don't get it for the vitamin factor, because the vitamins really don't dissolve, but they somehow prevent the dog from eating it. I have not tried that, so I don't know how successful it is. He did say it works for some dogs, and he learned that in vet school.
That's true of all of these additive situations,
yes,
is that they work for some dogs. And I've had good success. I didn't know about the Flintstone vitamins. And honestly, I didn't know about the licorice flavoring, the anise. But I've used both spinach and pineapple with pretty good success with lots of dogs. And the advantage is it works for most dogs and it's cheap. The
yes.
disadvantage is it works as long as you do it. And when you stop, your dog is like, oh.
Magic Thank
goodness. Poop has returned.
Yes.
But the dog likes it, and it's just a simple additive to the meal. So
right.
you just put a little pineapple juice with the meal, or I have found that canned spinach seemed more effective for dogs than frozen spinach, which was a sad disappointment to me because canned spinach is appallingly
Awful.
Smelly by my definition. And so I would really love to just shake a little frozen spinach on a meal rather than open up a nasty can of spinach. But if
right.
it made the dog not eat poop, I was all for putting a big fork full of stinky canned spinach on Gordo's meals.
Well, you know, somebody could actually try some frozen spinach and see if that works for their dog. And if it doesn't, they could
yeah.
go to the next level, which is the canned spinach. But yeah, they're canned spinach. I'm sorry, Popeye, you're wrong. It's just nasty stuff.
Gross.
It is gross.
But dogs
but
don't
it does.
Think so. I've
no,
never had a
don't.
Dog go, oh, yuck, there's canned spinach on my meal.
Right. The other thing is it, I think for some dogs, it's very effective long term. You're right, as long as you put it on. For other dogs, they seem to adapt. I've had a client who said she tried both spinach and pineapple, and it worked for a while, but then it stopped working. So that's when I recommended the anise flavoring. I didn't know about Flintstone vitamins at the time. But I also suggested that perhaps she talk to her veterinarian, because I don't know if the vets have any kind of an additive or something that you
yeah.
can put in.
And vets do. I do know they do sell some things, but they don't seem, in my experience, and again, I haven't asked a vet lately, they haven't been more effective than the cheap over-the-counter stuff. The other,
okay.
the other question to think about with a dog who's adapted to it is whether or not the person was 100% consistent, because we do know that variable reinforcement
right.
plays a role here. Like it's gross, it's gross, it's gross, it's delicious, it's gross, it's gross, it's gross, it's delicious. So on Wednesday
yes.
afternoons when your kid is feeding the dog and there's nothing added to it, you are now making this opportunity that perhaps this time will be a good time. I should keep checking, as opposed to,
right.
oh, it's always no good anymore.
Right. Consistency is important in that
and heart.
Regard. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Management, consistency, it's never 100%.
Yeah,
never
really
100%.
Hard.
And then, you know, make sure you're, yeah, to make sure that the pet sitter does it every single time,
mm-hmm.
too, because they have to open that gross can of spinach.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's hard stuff. It is hard to do. So I think in addition to doing the additive, I think you just have to be really diligent about keeping your yard clean
mm-hmm.
as well, so
yeah.
that there's no opportunity to do that. And that would be hard for me because I don't always get, I try to get out there every day or every other day and clean the yard, but I'm not as consistent about that as I should be either. So you're going to have to be consistent in the two things.
And that's the tricky part about winter, too, because it's
mm-hmm.
less appealing to be out in your yard hunting around and more likely to have the poop become poopsicles that your dog will be attracted to. So it's
right.
a double whammy with winter.
Right. And then as far as is having your dog eat other creatures or other dog's poop, that's a little bit harder because you can't exactly go to your neighbor and say, would you please give canned spinach to your dog so that my dog doesn't eat your dog's poop? That doesn't go over real well.
Yeah.
So one of the things you just have to be aware of is you just have to, once again, be vigilant. You have to be on the alert for random poop when you're out for a walk, or also risk the fact that if you're taking your dog for an off-lead walk, there might be an opportunity for him to eat poop. And in fact, that's what happened to Bear this last week. We were out at our cottage, and we're on a private road, and nobody's out there. So we let the dogs run up and down the road while we take a walk. And he ate something. And I'm pretty sure it was poop. And the next day, we got diarrhea. So one of the things is one of the reasons why you don't want your dog to eat another dog's poop is because it can carry certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in Bear's case, what we picked up was I'm going to look up the name of the bacteria. It's Campylobacter. And the beauty of Campylobacter, when you're talking about diarrhea, is that it's contagious, not only between dogs, but between species. So, yay, we can pick up Campylobacter too, which can cause primarily diarrhea, but can also cause vomiting. So, you know, that can always be fun.
Wow. And that's going to be so exciting for you in a household with two dogs and grandchildren.
Four grandchildren, so all under the age of 8.
Yeah, that's a lot harder than a one dog, just adult household.
Right. So that's why in some ways, I mean, if in just sort of an esoteric sense, it really shouldn't matter whether they eat poop, except you don't want them to kiss you on the face because it smells bad. But in general, it's just for them, it's searching out nutrition. There's no moral code here to the poop eating. But there are physiological health reasons why you don't want them to do that. And Campylobacter is one of them. So we are now treating Bear for his diarrhea, his overgrowth of this particular bacteria. Plus, I'm treating Zuzu prophylactically because, you know, she's with him all the time. And now we have to be hypervigilant about hand washing. And because I have a grandson who sits in a high chair, and one bite for me, one bite for Bear.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Bear has to be excluded from the kitchen, and we have to be really careful about lots of hand washing. So there are really good reasons, other than just the grossness factor, to want to get your dog to stop eating poop.
Right.
It just sort of as another aside to diarrhea, since we're on poop, we might as well just dive right in.
I think we should just cover the whole subject.
What I learned at the vet today was that there are two major bacteria that cause diarrhea. Campylobacter, which is, yay, the one we got. And then there's another one, which is not contagious and tends to be an overgrowth of bacteria in the digestive tract due to a change in diet. So the dog has some kind of a change in diet will cause diarrhea or stress. And he was saying that they will have a dog who will come to board at the facility and he's fine, but within 2 hours of being there, he's kind of stressed and the intestinal tract starts to shut down and we get diarrhea. So that is a little bit easier to treat, and just by reducing stress and making sure the dog's diet is more consistent. What I've also found in times of diarrhea that's food related, this is one of my discoveries, is Archway coconut macaroons. Now, for Bear right now with his Campylobacter, we have lots of water, a bland diet, so I've got to make chicken and rice for him for a few days. Plus, he's got a special herb from the doctor to treat it. You can also use an antibiotic. I decided to go with the herb to begin with because the problem with and probiotics. So he gets probiotics every day. He's going to get probiotics twice a day. Now, if you have a food-related diarrhea, because I'm just switching food or I ate something that's not agreeing with me, unlike Campylobacter, Archway coconut macaroons. Now, how did I discover this? I had a client who came to me and said, my dog has diarrhea, and I talked to the vet, and she said, I give him coconut Archway coconut macaroons, because it really starts to get rid of your diarrhea, and it works. But it has to be Archway. That's the thing. Any kind of coconut macaroon doesn't work. There's something about the Archway coconut macaroons. So I used to, and they're hard to find. So when I find them,
they are.
I try to buy, I buy like
because
every
they're
box.
Marketing them as a dessert and not as a dog diarrhea solution.
Works for primates too. Apparently they use it in zoos. So yeah, so it works for primates. So when I find it, I tend to buy every box in the store and hoard them. But they do work, and they work very quickly. And they just kind of, it's like, I don't know, it's kind of bizarre. They kind of dry it up, and it makes it kind of, I don't know, powdery. But it works. And it's really good for those kinds of diarrhea that are not a serious indication of, or an indication of another serious illness or something else needs to be resolved, like the Campylobacter. But anyway, Archway coconut macaroons works on primates as well.
Interesting.
So there you go.
Okay, so now I have a question. Yeah. There's not any reason not to use it with the Campylobacter. It's just not going to cure anything. But would it
Correct.
Help with some of the symptoms?
I would hope so, because I'm going to go out and I'm going to 3 different grocery stores today to try and find Archway coconut macaroons, because I have to buy a box for Bear, and then I have to buy a box for my husband because he likes them too. So I have to hide Bears. And in fact, when he used to give them as treats to Buckley, so he'd have one and Buckley would have one, and you know, everybody was happy intestinally. So yes. You can, I could give it to him and it wouldn't cause any particular problems. But what you,
but it might
you
help
want it,
some, right? I mean, it's not like
yes.
neutral. It could help with some of the symptoms of the diarrhea. It's just not going to
right.
It's not going to cure the bacteria.
Right. Bear still needs the bland diet, and he still needs the herb I'm going to give him and the probiotics and all that stuff to get his intestines back into shape. The problem with just relying on the Archway coconut macaroons without a diagnosis is that you may be masking symptoms of a more serious problem.
Yeah. So let's talk about that.
So
when, okay. when should we worry? I mean, when do we go, oh, that's just life? And when do we say, oh, I really probably should take this dog to the vet?
That's a really good question. And I probably, honestly, would not have taken Bear to the vet today, except we had our holistic appointment. So we were going in to get our 6-week chiropractic adjustment. So I thought, great, I will talk to the vet. What I usually do if we, and I know I had switched his food, so I was thinking it was probably more of a food issue because I hadn't switched him over slowly enough because I had run out of his regular food and the place I buy it wasn't closed or was closed, and I had this other bag, so we didn't do the transition as smoothly as I would have liked. So I was thinking it was
true confessions. You caused this terrible person.
I I am, but then I remembered the poop in the road.
Yeah, right? Odds so I figured, are pretty good Campylobacter was not an ingredient in this other dog food. So
no, yeah. I don't think it was. But what I usually find is if I know I fed him an unusual treat or something, I will give my dogs chicken and rice for a day or two. And if that clears everything up and I start to transition back into food, but the diarrhea comes back, boom, that's when we're at the vet.
Mm-hmm.
So, or if there are other symptoms that go with it, like if there is, if we're not trying to eat or drink, right? So that it could be, believe it or not, if you have a blockage in your intestinal tract, it can cause diarrhea. So if we're not wanting to eat or drink and we're starting to develop some lethargy, boom, we're right to the vet, because it could be a serious problem such as a blockage or something else. So what I usually try to look at is what's the wholeness of the dog? Mm-hmm. Are we running a fever? So I'll take a temperature. Are we eating and drinking? Are we sleeping? Are we playing? Are all of our other activities normal? And if so, and there's no other symptoms, there's no cough, there's no vomiting, there's no temperature, then I tend to wait 24 to 48 hours, try to treat the symptoms and see if we can get him back on track. And if we can't, that's when I usually head to the vet. How about you?
Pretty much the same, but I will admit I don't take my dog's temperature. Never have. you know, maybe in the future I will start being a temperature taker, but I haven't ever taken a dog's temperature.
It's not that hard. It's actually very easy. And I started doing it because when we were having two dogs being treated for cancer, mm-hmm. I had to really monitor their temperatures because that was so, you know, that was one of the things when you have two dogs who are sick with cancer and you're treating the cancer, you do all kinds of things to make sure that your dog doesn't crash real quick.
Yeah.
So that's when I started becoming a temperature taker.
Yeah, I think most of the people I know who take temperatures have had a dog go through a real serious thing. But
yeah,
I've been lucky so far. Let's hope it keeps going that way.
And I would say with temperature taking, get a dedicated thermometer.
Yes.
You can't use the kind you use on your toddler where you go across the forehead kind of thing, which they didn't have when I had toddlers. So mm-hmm. I'm just saying, people got it pretty easy these days. Get a digital read thermometer at the grocery store or at the drugstore for $5-6, something like that. Put dog, take an indelible marker and write dog on the case. Because if you have other people in the house looking for a thermometer, you really don't want them to pick that one up. So ours is labeled dog, and it's in the drawer with all the dog stuff, okay? And then you put a little bit of a lubricant, like Vaseline, because you get it, you set it, little lubricant, lift the tail, gently slide it in. Don't go, you may maybe go in, what am I showing, Colleen? Is that about an inch, maybe? Half an inch?
Inch and a half.
Yeah. Beep, 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 pull it out. And a dog's temperature of the normal range is, I think, 99 to 101, somewhere in there is normal. So theirs is a little slightly higher than ours. My dogs tend to run about 100 degrees. So anyway, so yeah. My own feeling is kind of like generally gastrointestinal stuff. It's not something that I panic about.
Mm-hmm.
For my dogs, I kind of feel like that's something that we can probably manage without a vet visit unless it's recurring.
Yeah.
And especially if you have something like, oh, the other indicator, one of the things they asked me today was, did the diarrhea smell? And I'm like, doesn't it always? I mean, part of me was like, well, I have a sinus infection, so I'm not smelling real well, but my grandson said it stank. And I think what they were trying to figure out is, was it Giardia? Because Giardia really, really stinks, as does Parvo. Parvo's got a very distinctive smell. So if you've got a puppy that has, but Parvo's got a lot of other symptoms too, but if you've got a puppy that has a really odd smelling diarrhea, that's when you have to be very careful with getting your dog right to the vet. But that also requires a great deal of cleaning because it's highly contagious on surfaces.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing is, does it smell really funky? Not just like poop, but if there's a real funky smell, then you probably need to get to the vet. Because as you know, Giardia can be very difficult to treat.
Yes.
And get on top of. So
in summary, though, most of the time when your dog eats poop, nothing's going to happen. So it's not that your dog Correct. Eats poop and we should rush to the vet. And it's not that your dog eats poop and we go, oh my gosh, something's crazy. There's, you know, this is completely wrong and abnormal. Most of the Correct. Time what happens is you hope that there's a nice long pause between dog eating poop and the next kiss to you. That's
right.
The general policy. Like, no big deal, just hope that we can
Correct.
Move through that. But if there are problems, hopefully some of these tips will be helpful for addressing them.
Right.
Definitely the food additives for preventing the dogs who really seek out poop. And then the new Magic Archway coconut macaroons solution for dogs with diarrhea.
That's Archway right. There was so only pleased. One of the... Well, you know, if you call and ask them about it, they will neither confirm nor deny, by the way. Because I have done that because that's the kind of person I am. But anyway,
that is the kind I just of person to, you are.
It is. I just one last thing I wanted to say, which is deer poop.
Deer poop. We were going to come back around to deer poop and goose poop and cat poop. I mean, there are a lot of other species poop that dogs are pretty attracted to.
enthusiastically embrace. Yes, I would say, unless you can get the deer to eat like the canned spinach and the pineapple, you just have to be careful and know that if you're going to let your dog off lead to run in the woods, there's a good chance we're going to eat some deer poop. Mm-hmm. In your own yard, you're going to have to try and do something to contain it or clean it up. And the same thing with litter boxes. One of the things I would recommend is that there are some great gates out there that have doors that you, so you don't have to constantly be taking the gate up and down. You can just swing the door and go open. But within that also have a cat door. Mm-hmm. So the cat can get in and out, but the dog can't get to it. So that's something to consider. If you don't want your dog in the litter box, which you don't, and the cat doesn't want the dog in his litter box either, put the litter box someplace the dog can't get, but the cat still has easy access to. So that's part of this as a management solution. If you don't want your dog to eat poop, you're going to have to be partly management and partly supplemental stuff.
Which is true of pretty much everything related to dogs. Always got some management solution element to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you're right, Colleen. I think that was a pretty good summary that in general, if your dog eats poop, it's probably not something, maybe unpleasant, but it's not something to worry about.
Yeah.
But there are instances where it could be. And if it does, certainly get to see your vet so you can make sure that you manage it correctly and it doesn't reoccur. So anything else on feces?
No, I think we have covered it unless someone wants to shoot us a question, which we always love. If someone has a question, we will discuss. So thanks so much for talking.
All right. Thanks, Colleen.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661 or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.